as he mentioned. Children's church. Children, get out of here. There we go. Oh, I didn't see these guys over here just now. Oh, we got trouble over here. We have definitely got trouble over here. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. David and Sandy, of course, as he was talking about the church, we have a lot of good valleys, a lot of good mountaintops. And God's been good all the time. Amen? I was here. I've preached here before, but it's been a long time. A long time ago, I'm talking like maybe 25 years ago or something. And it's good to be back. I barely remember it because I've slept since then. Amen? We were at the prison yesterday. We do one day with God, travel around, and I go in, and our praise team was there yesterday. And we were at Avery Mitchell. And I preached at 8 o'clock yesterday morning. Then I came back, did a martial arts demonstration at 2 o'clock, and our praise team sang at 2:30. We had 14 men saved yesterday in the prison. Amen? 14 men. And you stand up in prison, you got to have some sort of backbone to do that because everybody's against you in so many different ways. You know, a stand is very important, and we have to be willing to do that. Amen? I preached the early service in our church this morning and got on the road and got up here. And your pastor, I talked to him, I think it might have been Friday, Friday or Saturday, and he assured me that he would send me directions. So, we came here by faith. I asked one of the commissioners that's in our church, I said, hey, how do I get to Todd? He said, you go up to Boone and where the intersection is in Wendy's, go up to the next one, and there's two lights, by the way, and I'm going to tell him when I get back, there's two lights there. Go on up to the big intersection, the next one, take a right, go down through there, you'll see a sign. So as I'm trying to get GPS, I'm trying to get this and that, and I'm like 30 yards from the next red light at the bottom of the hill where that little sign Todd is right there. I'm like 30 feet from that or something, and I just have a look, there's Todd, and I went, there we go. And I got on this is a great motorcycle road, by the way, amen? Great motorcycle road. And anyway, we got here, and I'm saying, God, you've got to get me here because the time is clear. He said, by the way, your pastor said preaching starts at 10:45. I've got him on tape. The preaching starts at 10:45. Got him on tape. 10:45. Anyway, I'm here. Thank God for that, and I'm glad you're here. Amen. We'll have a good time this week. Stand, if you will. Please give your neighbor a high five. Tell them they look a whole lot better than you thought they would this morning. Go ahead and do that, will you? Remain standing, please. Take your Bibles. Join me in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. The Bible says in Matthew 10:19 and 20, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And those are verses that I read to remind myself, if God does not do the work, the labor is in vain. And I'm glad God will do it. Amen. Look with me, please, in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. If you have that, will you say amen? Verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest, made manifest in our body. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the day, the blessings, the opportunity to be here. I pray that you stir our hearts today. Thank you, God, for this time that's been set aside for a series of events that we can come together and ask God that you inhabit our praises and come and challenge our hearts. Every life, every situation that we have here today, God, you know it. And even though when we come into places like this, sometimes we're somewhat careful to expose too much of our hearts or our reality. But God, thankful for us to know that you know. And I pray that you challenge our hearts today and let us understand that you have given us an ability far above our own ability, that you've given us the ability to press on in difficult times. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I want to talk about the power not to quit today. And there's three concepts I want to give you about that. So as we look at these three concepts that are going to come up on the screen, I want you to think about this with me, please. So as you think about this, look in verse 5 of this passage. There is the acknowledgement of the goal. If I am not going to quit, I have to have an acknowledgement of where I'm headed. If I don't understand where I'm headed, it's going to be hard for me to get there. And God is going to make a way for you where there seems to be no way. And then to accept the guidelines. Listen, God has guidelines. Why? Because He knows best. He knows what you need. He knows what I need. Therefore, He has given us a destination. He has given us guidelines. And then He activates a gift that is in you. You and I have gifts that God wants us to use. Talents are God-given often through parenting. But the gift of God is spiritually given. So let me ask you, since you have been saved, do you have an active gift in you? Now the Bible says that God will equip every ministry for the needs of that ministry. God wants to help us in the position to do His will. Look with me, please, if you will, in this same chapter, in verse number 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. I had this discussion last week with someone, came in my office, and we were talking about using their gifts and talents in the church. And I said to them, because they said, well, I come to church to get a blessing. I said, really? I have never come that I can remember to church to get a blessing. I've always come trying to give a blessing. I want to give one. Yes, it's good to be blessed. But some people always come and say, what can I get instead of what I can give? There's something important here to acknowledge the goal that is before us. And then accept the guidelines. Look in verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If you ever write anything down in your life, or at least for these few days that we have the joy of being with you, write this down. Something is wrong when the vessel robs the treasure of its glory. Something is wrong when the vessel robs the treasure of its glory. Hidden in you, hidden in me, is that light that is to shine out, giving God the glory. It is not my glory nor yours. It is His glory, and I'm to give it out as God has blessed me with it. Could somebody say amen? Then I have to activate the gift. If I don't activate the gift, listen to what it says, but we have this treasure hidden in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power of God may be not of us, but of Him. That glory, that extensive glory, that excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So let me ask you the question. Are you quitting? Are you quitting on God? Oh, you're here, and we're grateful for that. But if you're not going to quit on God, it's going to require two or three things. It's going to be really important. The first thing that it's going to require of you, if you don't quit on God, is it's going to require character of you. You have to have a character. We're going to put the next slide up because I want you to think about this for a minute. Rocky Marciano was a heavyweight boxer, 49-0, from 1947 to 1955, the only undefeated heavyweight in boxing history as far as an undefeated heavyweight goes. The thing about Rocky Marciano that they said so much about him is that he'd take a beating, and then with one punch knock out his opponent. Let me ask you, are you cast down? Look what it says in verse 9. We are cast down but not destroyed. Cast down means to throw down with force, to knock down. Have you been knocked down? Things in your life knocked you down. Things you can't control. Things you can't deal with. Things you cannot maneuver. And because of that, you have taken a blow. Your character has said, it doesn't matter. Let's just do what we want. It just doesn't matter. I've tried. It didn't work. I wanted to do it. It didn't work. The Bible says, he that began a good work in you will perform it. What God has started, He will finish. But it requires a character. You see, the Bible says I've been cast out, but I've not been destroyed. I've not been knocked out. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12 and 10, when I'm weak, then am I strong. The devil is ours to knock you out. The devil is ours to hit you with one punch and knock you out. I was doing a demonstration yesterday at the prison, and I preached that morning, of course, come back, had the karate gear on, all that sort of stuff. And these guys get their kids in on this One Day with God thing. They get to bring the kids in, and they get to spend some time with the kids. And it's an old, all-day thing. So when I do my demonstration, it's a comedy demonstration, because you're not going to go to prison, teach martial arts, say amen, somebody. You're not going to do that. So it's kind of a comedy thing. You get the kids involved. So I got the kids up, and I've got my pads, and I'm talking about these principles with the pads and making spiritual application out of them. And all these little kids want to run up, and you get these kids that they want to come up, and they're like this, and they want to fight their dads in prison, and they think they're tough and all that sort of stuff. And I said yesterday, I'll knock you out. That's what the devil wants to do to you. He wants to knock you out. He wants to knock you down. He wants to cast you down, and he wants to knock you out. How will he do that? He'll do it through character. Character is who you are. Character is who you are at midnight. Character is who you are when you shut the door and pull the shades. Character is who you are when you flip on the computer. Character is who you are when you flip on the television. Character is who you are when you do those private things in your privacy that you think nobody sees. But God, according to Psalms, looks down and beholds the works of men. And God knows the character. God knows the character. You say, well, I don't think that matters because I'm my own man, I'm my own woman. There's a very important thing that you need to understand. This life in which we live is just a short time. And I know that that's hard for us to believe because this is all we've ever known. But according to the Scripture, there's much more than this that's going on. You see, when we were at Walker Road, years ago, Johnny Buchanan, these guys know everybody I'm calling, Johnny Buchanan, Herb Dills, Danny Costner, me, and somebody else, might have been one of these guys, but somebody else, we, in 1988, I think it was, we go down to Hickory from Morganton. And in those days, you didn't have all the things on the cable system. So you had to get pay-per-view or some sort of paid cable. So we go down to Hickory. Grown men. Children. Go down and rent a room at the Red Roof Inn in Hickory to watch Spinks and Tyson fight in 1988. We get down there, five men. Two beds, a 19-inch television. Gathered around, five men. We saw the two preliminary fights, and Tyson and Spinks came on, and I'm telling you, as this fight started, we were hyped up. It was now almost 1 o'clock on Saturday. I had to preach the next morning. 91 seconds later, the fight's over. 91 seconds. Danny Costner went to the bathroom and missed the whole fight. True. The best fight of the night was Herb Dills and Danny fighting on the bed. 91 seconds, it was over. The devil wants to hit you with a blow that can knock you out and knock you down and put you out of business. The Bible's very clear that if I am going to continue, I have to have character. The second thing is to face the challenge. If I don't face the challenge, I will not make what God intended me to make. There's something important here. David Schultz was one of the greatest collegiate and Olympic wrestlers that ever lived. He wrestled in about four different weight groups, won medal after medal after medal. And the Bible says in verse 8 that we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. You find yourself like that? You find yourself trying to live right, and every time you try to live right, here comes the devil. And you're troubled on every side. I want to tell you, the Bible tells us very plainly the devil's an adversary. He's not a friend. You've had many close calls. And the devil's trying to get you down and fasten you and pin you to the mat of life. Yet we are pressed, but we're not pinned. My God is able. Your God is able. Our God is able when we go forward. By the way, let me tell you, in the greatest amount of love that I can tell you, some people in the house of God need to grow up. And when we face things, let us put our show shoulders square and look hell in the face and say, Jesus died for me to have victory, and I've got it in Jesus' name, and I'm not stopping, and I'm not going back, and I'm not giving up. I'm going on because my God is an awesome God. Somebody say amen there. Face the challenge. Listen, here's the problem. You let a woman have a baby, about 3 years old, four maybe, and you take that baby to the park. You let that woman sit there. She's nice and pleasant. Speak to everybody coming by. How are you? Good to see you. You let somebody run out and grab that child. She'll grow claws and fangs. Amen? She'll tear the head off of whoever touches her child because it's mama's baby. Let me tell you something. Your Heavenly Father cares about you. And He's not going to put up with anything in your life that's not going to give Him glory. And you can do it because you've got the freedom and you've got the high priesthood of the believer and you've got a choice to do it. But I'll tell you something. You will never face the challenge if you don't have the right character to do it. You see, the scripture is kind of clear here. Because if I'm going to face the challenge, I have to have the character. But the challenge brings a conflict. See, the challenge, my next step is conflict. Nobody wants a conflict. Gale Sayers is one of the greatest running backs. They call him the Kansas Comet. If you remember Gale Sayers, this is what you remember about him. When he would hit the line, those old films that you would see, he'd hit the line, and you wouldn't see him for a second or two. And then he'd either come out and go around, or he'd go on through. Gale Sayers was an incredible, incredible, incredible football player. Vince Lombardi had this quote. Vince Lombardi said, "You can give the other team my playbook. I will tell them what play we're going to call, and they still can't stop us if every player does his job." You as a church cannot be stopped unless you stop it yourself. It will not happen. Verse 8 says, that we are simply perplexed but not despaired. In other words, it's sometimes you can't see a way. But that's exactly what Gale Sayers did. Often he could not see a way. And what he did is he kept on grinding his feet. I'm telling you this morning, don't let the devil pin you down. Don't let him knock you out. Don't let him stop up that way that God has made for you. Don't allow yourself to quit. God has already invested in you. And I want you to get this. If you have a dictionary at home, you have one at the office, you have one at school, go in there where quit is and mark it out. You can go to my office right now. Get my dictionary out. Quit is marked out of my dictionary. There's nowhere to go. Once you accept Jesus, go forward in Jesus' name. Say amen there, somebody. Heard a story about a guy that had a family business on this block, and it was a beautiful block. It had a lot of nice stores. This guy came in and bought the whole block up. He came to the guy and he said, "I bought the whole block up. I'm going to turn this into a coffee shop area with trees and tables, and we're going to do all that sort of stuff, and your shop is the only shop I don't have." The guy said, "My shop's not for sale." The guy said, "No, you don't understand. I've got a lot of money. I'll pay you way more than what it's worth. I've got every store here but your store, and I need your store." He said, "You don't understand. My store's not for sale." The man said, "Okay, if you want to be like that, I'll just crowd you out. I'll make it so lively on both sides that your business will fold." It was just a small little shop. He said, "Your business will be shut down anyway." The man said, "My business is not for sale." So the guy worked and worked. He developed the area, looked beautiful, had all these great tables, had all kind of brick paving going on, had all these beautiful things with flowers and everything. And the day of the opening, the shop owner put over his door in large letters, "Main Entrance." Let me ask you a question. Are you scared to face the Lord? I know we sing about Jesus is coming, and I know we sing about when the roll is called up yonder, and I know we sing about heaven is our home. And by the way, one of the hymns that I don't kick the care for is when we all get to heaven, because we're all not going. The song bothers me when we sing when we all get to heaven, because it gives a false impression sometimes of a life not dedicated to Christ, because we're all not going to go. It'd be good if we all went, but I'm going to tell you, we're all not going to go. You see, the conflict is great sometimes in our lives. It could be a child, it could be a husband, it could be a wife, it could be a job, it could be a number of things, it could be yourself. Conflict could be great in your life. There's something very important. If I'm going to have the character, and I'm going to face the challenge, and I'm going to deal with the conflict, I've got to understand I've already won. You've already won. You don't have to do anything. You accepted Christ. If you just work in His strength, you already won. Most people have never heard of the name Steve Prefontaine. Steve Prefontaine was an incredible runner. He was from Coos Bay, and as a result, this guy's running. He was an incredible guy. He was born, had one leg shorter than the other. They said he would never be able to run, do anything like that. And this guy became such an incredible. He got killed at age 24, which is a very tragic thing for anybody. But in the life of track and field, this guy was the top of the list. And you ought to read some things said about him. Steve Prefontaine said, "I will never quit." He never lost a race until he got into the Olympic trial, and he lost one of the qualifying races. But he never stopped. He never quit. He conquered, and he said, "I've won before I started." Do you know that you've won already? When these fellows were with us in Mordenson, and we built the new sanctuary, on the first Easter before we got into the building, we had the slab pulled. We had communion over there on Easter Sunday morning. I called Jerusalem that morning at 5 o'clock. I called the Jerusalem Hilton. An Arab answered the phone. Imagine that. And he said, "Jerusalem Hilton." I said, "Is the tomb empty?" He said, "What?" "The tomb, is it empty?" He said, "What?" I said, "Jesus' tomb, is it empty?" He said, "No, next week. They celebrate Easter a week later in Israel than we do." I said, "Doc, you better look at it this morning because it's empty. We've already won." Could you say amen? You might be persecuted, but you're not forsaken. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's with you all the way. You might fall behind in the run. Somebody may get ahead of you, and you may feel like you can't finish the race. But if you have to walk across, keep going. Our God is an awesome God. He's already made a way. Amen. You see, it's interesting because when you see track and field, there's something you'll notice about it. When they get to the finish line, they can't reach and get the tape. They have to put their hands back, and they have to get their chest across. You know why? Because that represents the whole body. It's where the heart is. You can't reach up and get it, because if you could reach up to some guy's arm longer than yours, then he could get the tape first. You can't do it with your hand. You got to do it with your body. What does that mean, all in? Are you all in today? All in. Or you say, "Well, you know what, I don't have a lot of things going on." Let me ask you. You've heard of the nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty, right? Okay. Well, here's a very theological, professional way of doing things in church on Sunday morning. Why don't you help me do that nursery rhyme? Will you please? Will you do it with me? Okay, ready? Here we go. Humpty Dumpty. That'd have been a great time for a visitor to walk in, wouldn't it? Wouldn't have been a great time? You know, I wonder about that nursery rhyme. I wonder, all the king's horses, all the king's men, couldn't put him back together again. I wonder why they didn't call the king. I wonder why in our lives, when Jesus Christ is a personal Savior, why we don't call the king and believe what he says. Let me say to you this morning in closing that the challenges we face in church today are great. Greater than they've been in quite a while. We've had some historical things happen in our day and time of our years of ministry that are pretty phenomenal. Let me tell you something about David that helps me. David and Sandy helped me because they have been solid. You see, in ministry, when you see somebody get saved and they stay solid, that helps you a lot. I'm telling you. Through some times of my own challenges in life, I have been reminded that there are people that get saved and stay solid. Now, that doesn't negate the fact that sometimes we make mistakes, because we all make mistakes. So I want to tell you something. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Nobody stands higher than I. And I mentioned this morning in our first service that everybody that lives and tries makes mistakes. That's part of life. The issue is not staying in those mistakes. And your problems and my problems are problems, but Jesus' blood covers us from all things. Let me ask you this morning, do you really personally want revival? Because if you want revival, that means things got changed. I mean, apathy and absenteeism are the two greatest needs of our churches. Apathy and absenteeism, they go together. The apathy of not caring, the absenteeism of not showing. Those things happen all the time in our churches. And for the life of me, I've been preaching 35 years, and for the life of me, I can't understand why the nominating committee has trouble finding people to work and serve in the church. I don't understand that. I don't understand how that anybody can understand what Jesus did and not say, use me somewhere. Somewhere. I don't care where it is. Use me somewhere. Because I want to say this morning that if you're too busy to serve God, you're right. You're too busy. You're too busy. I mentioned on one of my videos, because I do daily videos, I mentioned this a couple days ago, that God will make time for you what you need to do. See, the Corinthian church that Paul wrote to were babes in Christ. And he tried to get them to understand that, yeah, you're going to get pushed. Yeah, you're going to get hit. Yeah, you're going to get knocked down. Yeah, you're going to get tried to be pinned to the mat. But I want to tell you, God is pushing you up. And I want to tell you something. There's a better person in you than you think there is. And God's got more for you to do than what you think. But you have the power to stop it, or you have the power to say, yes, Lord, here am I. You have that power today. And I'm simply saying to you that you don't have to sign up for all these things that the church are doing, but I'm going to ask you to be active in something the church is doing. Because everybody's got that gift, amen? I want to just mention this to you. Tonight at 6 o'clock, now, I don't know what you have scheduled today. I hope that you have scheduled to be here. I hope that's the case. And if you know someone, tonight's message is going to be very, very important to our Christian living. If you know someone that's having some difficulty, tonight would be a good night. You see, when I talked to prisoners yesterday, those guys have committed mistakes, and they're paying for their mistakes. They're incarcerated. I talked to one guy that's 56 years. He's about early 30s. 56 years. Talked to another guy that's got 10 years. Guy had 6 kids by 3 different women. 6 kids. They made a choice and they're paying for it. Some people in our churches are in prison and they have the freedom to walk out the door. Would you today consider that Jesus Christ said, all you that labor and heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you rest. See, the good news about it is not so much that I've read the end of the book and you've read the end of the book. The good news about it is I've experienced it. Let me ask you honestly. You ever made a mistake? Let's see your hand. No, don't put them up. We got too many, right? Couldn't count them all. Lamentations 3. God's mercies are new every morning. And today, His mercies are new. Would you accept Him? Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the hope of heaven, the joy we have to be here. I pray today that you help us in our lives and our walk not quit. I pray that you help us in our lives and our walk not quit. Lord, it's easy. Sometimes we get weary. I know I get weary. I got a busy day. A lot of things going on today. But I want to thank you, Lord, that you've given us the ability to deal with it day by day. Lord, there's people here overcome by things in their life, challenges they face. Some people are lonely and weary. Some people don't know what to do. They're challenged by life. They've adopted a lifestyle that's not pleasing to you, but it's comfortable to them, and they don't want to change, but they know they should. I pray today that you help us to understand the power and the responsibility of what you've provided. Thank you for this pleasure, this privilege, and I ask in Jesus' name that you speak to our hearts. With heads bowed, eyes closed, let me ask you this question. If you have any doubt in your mind whether if you were to die today, that you would not go to heaven, you're not sure of your salvation, would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me? Anyone today? All right, now, for a pastor, no hands went up. But let me tell you about a pastor's responsibility. That is a great condemning thing. Because if you are saved, then you are saying, I've accepted Christ. If you're not doing what Christ said, that puts a great burden on a pastor. Because you have said, I'm ready. I'm saved. Will you serve now? Will you serve? Will you let God have His way in your life? As we stand in just a moment to sing, we're going to ask you to come immediately. Not wait a second, not wait 2 seconds, not wait 5 seconds. We're going to ask you to come immediately to this altar and rededicate your life unto God and say, God, today I'm going to start right now on August the 23rd, 2015, and I want to walk out of this door a new person, and I want to go forward in Jesus' name right now this morning. Make that change. As we stand and the music starts, I want you to do it in please? Would you please, would you stand right now? The music starts. Would you come right now? Don't wait a second. Don't wait 1 second. Come right now. Come right now this morning. Would you?
Without Him I could do nothing. Without
would you come?
Thank you, Rock. Thank you so much. Thank you guys for being here. We got lunch. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock. Be ready for what God's doing in our hearts. If you've been touched today, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I'm going to pray for our meal, and then Rock, if you'll go back to the door, we'll greet everybody on our way out. I'm going to pray, or I'll ask Lee to pray and bless the meal while you're at it, Lee, and we'll be ready to break some bread together. But I love you. What is God wanting from you this week, today? This week, ask that question and he'll answer that, please.